Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, October 23rd, 2017. What's going on? How is ya? I am in Atlanta. I am back in Atlanta to continue on my acting gig on a rainy day here. Oh, rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Who the fuck would write a song like that? You know? It's like, isn't the world depressed enough? Rainy days and Mondays always get you down. Oh, how do you feel on Tuesday when it's partly cloudy, you miserable cunt? You're playing music. Isn't your job supposed to be to cheer people up? I should talk. I remember one time Beck put out an album, and I guess it was supposed to be like some thing when he was going through a depression, and then he had a happier album. And I bought the one where he was more depressed. And I remember my wife was like, well, why would you buy that one? I don't know, because I can relate. I don't fucking know. Anyway, so I'm back here in Atlanta. Just landed in this fucking rain and all of this shit. And, you know, we were up there in the holding pattern and all that. It's going to be another 25 minutes, all that stuff. People all huffing and puffing. And all I'm thinking is, yeah, dude, take another 55 minutes. Just don't fucking crash. I don't care how long this takes, right? So I get back to the hotel. Everything goes great. Somehow this guy fucking lands it. I don't know how they do it. It's fucking amazing that they're not freaking out. Is it just like I couldn't see anything out my window? I get back to the hotel room. I was like, oh, fuck, I got to do the podcast. Let me order a little bit of room service. So I call up, you know, get a little grilled cheese sandwich, you know, a little turkey BLT. What do you got? What do you got on your lunchtime menu? And I call the guy up, right? He's like, hello, room service. And I said, yeah, I'd like to order some food to the room. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. We don't have any room service. Like, I forget how he said it, but he went in like this happy tone. Oh, you know, unfortunately, we can't do that right now. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what he said. Oh, I'm sorry. We can't do that right now. Oh, yeah? You don't sound sorry. You sound kind of chipper. Why don't you have the proper tone in your voice? Could you at least pretend to sound a quarter as disappointed as I am right now that I have to do my fucking podcast on an empty stomach? This podcast is going to suck right now because all I'm going to be thinking about is a grilled cheese sandwich that I'm not eating. The sun just came out. Here comes the sun. Do-do-do-do-do. You know what's fucked up? George Harrison wrote that and he's dead. I bet the rainy days and summer Mondays guy is still alive. You know why? Because God doesn't want to hang out with him. He listens to George Harrison. Here comes the sun. This guy sounds all right. I did a good job on this one, huh? Must not have been sleepy and nodding off like when I made the rainy days and Mondays, cunt. Ah, Jesus. I hope he kills somebody so I have a reason to set him down. Well, wait, I'm God. I can set him down there anyways. You know what? Fucking kill him. Anyways, plowing ahead here. I'm back in Atlanta. Going to knock out a couple more days on this. What I'm telling you, man, it's really looking like a great one. Film that I'm working on. And then I go back to go see my wife and my daughter. Is that my daughter in there? I get to go back, hang out with them before. The fuck am I doing this weekend? Oh, my God. I'm doing the first ever All Things Comedy Podcast Network podcast festival. In Phoenix, Arizona. Did I say podcast enough in that? By the way, I'm supposed to mention that Bud Light will be the official beer of the All Things Comedy Festival. All right? We got a little booze in there for Billy Boozeless. 67 days. Oh, 67 days. 67 days, no booze. Let me tell you something. Just because I'm not drinking doesn't mean you can't come to the All Things Comedy Festival in Phoenix, Arizona. This Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and listen to some of the best podcasts in the world, in the universe. I'm going to go Donald Trump here while enjoying an ice-cold Bud Light. There you go. How do you like that? Little fucking commercial there. I'll be doing my podcast for the first time. I don't know how I'm going to do it because I'm going to do it just like I do this where I just fucking lay down on a couch or a bed. I feel at some point I do have to address the crowd. I think the fact that I have no idea what the fuck is going to happen. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. The crowd doesn't know what they're supposed to do. I think something good's going to happen. That is my prediction. Or something bad. Or maybe it sucks. But, you know, what is the internet like better than something that's amazing? Something that sucks. So no matter what, I feel like it's going to be a win. Anyway, 67 fucking goddamn days, no booze. I feel great. You know, I look better. I've lost weight. You know, my liver's happy. Sure, all of those things. But I got to tell you something. I really miss it. I definitely miss it. You know, I had such a fucking amazing weekend. Played Austin City live. The best sounding venue I've ever fucking been in. The sound was incredible. Well, they shoot Austin City Limits there. The sound was fucking incredible. I worked with Dean Del Rey. He murdered all weekend. I recorded when I was there. They were such pros. They handed it to me. They had all three sets, all of them already mixed. And also, in what you guys said something about Pro Tools, like I could just hook it up into Pro Tools and switch the mixing, adjust stuff if I wanted to. It was the most professional, best sounding, coolest fucking venue that I've played in the States, I think. It was unreal. They had all these fucking photos from back in the day, all the way back to the first, Willie Nelson was the first guest that they had in 1974. I believe this is their third venue. But of course, they had the Stevie Ray Vaughan one. Neil Young, just everybody. Everybody played there. And so that was incredible. So anyways, and then there was this place, Lambert's Barbecue, right around the corner, which might have been the best barbecue I ever got. Just not only the taste, the quality of the meat. I went there the first time, and I got the pulled pork. It was fucking incredible. I got to give these guys a shout out. And then I went back there again yesterday, and one of the people that worked at the Austin City Live goes, I used to work there, get the ribeye. And I got it. It was I forget what they I don't know, put it in coffee and something else was the rub, and it was fucking outstanding. Incredible food and all of that shit. So, anyways, so I went out there. I scheduled this weekend out there around the Formula One race, right? That's all I was going to do. I was going to go there, play Austin City Live, and then go to the F1 race. And then that was it. That was going to be my fucking make-a-wish weekend. It was going to be perfect. However, I get there, and somebody tells me, hey, you know, Jimmy Vaughn is playing, the fuck was the name of the venue? We just went there. Something Sky venue or something. This little bar, cool-ass fucking bar. It was like Jimmy Vaughn's going to be playing down there. I only had one show Saturday night. You guys should go down and check him out. Went down, checked him out, sat in a booth like 5 feet away from the stage. Saw the great Jimmy Vaughn. He had this unbelievable fucking keyboard player and drummer. And I just got to watch them play a set. It was this big CD album release party that they were having. We got to meet him in between sets. Could not have been nicer, more generous, just really warm, great guy. And I got to tell you, man, there was this one asshole in the crowd. The more I go to, like, music shows, like, they always talk about how comedians get heckled. Like, we get heckled, you know, because most of the times we deserve it. We say something that isn't funny or we annoy somebody, right? This guy's up there. He's playing music. And he's killing it, and it sounds great. This asshole in the crowd said something, I don't want to fucking hear that shit. I want to, blah, blah. Like 5 feet away, yelling at him like he hired him for his private birthday party. And I don't know how Jimmy kept his composure. I don't know how he did. Like, I couldn't believe he didn't smash the fucking guitar over his head. He just was like, nah, man, you know, I'm up here. I'm playing music. This fucking loser who's never done shit with his life. As far as I can tell, he's with some woman who literally fell down drunk, and he got her another fucking beer. And they, you know, other than that, it was like this perfect evening. And I just was, as a performer, was astounded the classy way that he handled that guy, because God knows I wouldn't have. But other than that, asshole, it was just this incredible night. And me and Dean were just sitting there like, you know, a couple of kids could not believe that we got to see him and got to see him play. Like, it was just classic old school musician, you know, we were out in the fucking parking lot. He just pulls up, drove himself to the gig, you know, just old school shit. Goes in, walks up on stage, looked fucking great, plugs in, tunes up. People, he's tuning up his own guitar, you know, all of that shit. People, hey, Jimmy, like, just sort of looking, nodding, whatever. He's all tuned up, walks off stage, comes back 10 minutes later, and just proceeds to absolutely murder it for like 90 minutes, right? So, like, that wasn't great enough. I would go, dude, you believe we're seeing this guy and we're going to go to this race the next day? So, anyways, we're with some of the people from Austin City Live there. I go, by the way, I go, who's playing your venue? Who comes in there next? And they go, Primus. I go, when? They go, Sunday night. I go, get the fuck out of here. I've never seen them. All right? Tim Alexander is one of my favorite fucking drummers of all time. I got to see this guy live. So I changed my fucking flight. And they go, all right, man, we'll fucking hook you up. And we go to the race. I know this is probably annoying to a lot of you guys that I got to do all of this shit, but I have to tell you, what am I going to lie and act like I didn't have a great, you know, am I supposed to tone down my joy because you're in a goddamn cubicle right now? I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I fucking humiliated myself for the first 8 years of my stand-up career before I finally figured out how to be funny, and that I'm a 25-year overnight success. Can I continue without pissing off too many of you? I know how the fucking, I know how the internet is. I know how it works. Well, fuck you, all right? Just know this, if I ever get sick, I don't need to have a fucking make-a-wish because I lived it this weekend. So we go to the goddamn race. We were sitting in turn 12, which was the fucking place to be. You know, the first race I went to up in Montreal, I was on the start-finish line, and it was great to watch him go flying by at 170, 80 miles an hour, but you can barely see him. You want to be in the turns where they gotta, you know, stomp on the brakes, and that's where the racing happens. That's where the passing happens. Dude, we were there. We saw fucking Lewis Hamilton pass Max Verstappen, the two best drivers in the world, on the two best teams, you know, Mercedes and Ferrari, right in front of us. And on that same fucking turn, I think Bottas passed somebody. We got to see Hamilton pass somebody else after he had pitted, and he had tried to get back into first place again. We saw him pass again. And then on the final lap, we saw Max Verstappen going around Kimi Raikkonen. Right as they were disappearing around the fucking, was that 12, 13, 14, 15, I think 16. We could see 12, 13, 14, and 16 turns. And then up the hill, you can see turn one. And then over to the left, you could see like turn, I don't know what it was, five or six. It was ridiculous. If you ever go there, you got to sit in turn 12, I'm telling you. Or somewhere around there where you get to see all of, like, just get a map of the track. And from here on out, I don't give a fuck what race I go to. I'm going to look and see which turn has the sharpest fucking turn after a straightaway or whatever, and that's where I'm sitting, because we actually saw a little bit of an accident. I believe one of the American teams, the Haas car, got spun out. That was right in front of us. And, dude, Dean Del Rey was flipping the fuck out. Like, three times during the race, during those passes, he fucking held up his forearm and he had goosebumps watching these guys slamming on the brakes, going around each other. You know, he's a motorcycle fucking car freak. He was losing his shit. And he was so going nuts, I was, like, laughing half of the time. You know when you bring somebody to something and you want them to have a good time, you're so afraid like that they're gonna look at you like, you're into this shit? Dude, I'm bored, you know? They got any more fucking cheese and crackers for me to eat? He was losing his mind, freaking out. So anyways, as if the race wasn't good enough, Max Verstappen is right on Kimi Raikkonen's ass through 12, 13, 14, 15 the whole time, and everybody is on their feet going fucking crazy. And at the last second, as they're going like up the hill, he got around him, and everybody was going nuts. And he ends up coming in third place. He's on the podium. Everything is great. We get out of there. I forgot. In the beginning of the race, when they did the whole, Michael Buffer did all the announcements which some you know, some racing fans didn't like, you know, because they're all fucking snobby and shit. I saw a couple American fans apologizing. Fuck you. This is America. All right? We overeat and we're loud. All right? If you don't like it, don't have a fucking race here, you asshole. Jesus Christ. Do you get all upset when the fucking Italians cry every time a Ferrari's in first place for a lap? Fucking stuck-up cunts. Anyways, and they actually, when they brought out Daniel Ricciardo, they actually... Oh, fuck. Is this on right now? All right, sorry, a little technical difficulty there. When they brought him out, Will Buxton had written all the intros, and when they brought out Daniel Ricciardo, they had Michael Buffer say Ricky Rocket. Remember when I couldn't remember the guys' names, and I was saying Ricky Reichenberg and all of that shit because I was so new to the sport. One time I called Daniel Ricciardo Ricky Rocket, obviously knowing that was the drummer from Poison. So he actually said that. How fucking nuts is that? So, anyways, at some point, I got to get a picture with Ricky Rocket and Daniel Ricciardo. See if that ever fucking happens. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe Ricky Rocket carries the shout out. Next thing you know, he gets into the race. He goes to fucking Austin. He's also sitting in turn 12. But Daniel Ricciardo will be on. You know what? It'll be Drayson at that point. It's never going to fucking happen. Whatever. So, anyways, this morning I wake up. And I'm looking at the final, you know, results and everything to see who won what. And I noticed that all of a sudden Max Verstappen is down in fourth place. And there's all this whole fucking Days of Thunder, Ricky Bobby fucking controversy. I guess he fucking went off on this. I guess it's this racing steward who fucked him over in Japan, Mexico, and now in Austin. And he was so mad, he said he hoped that the fans don't show up in Austin next year. It's just like, dude, he's kind of fucking you around the globe. There's no reason to single us out, right? Did you not like your nickname and the fucking intros? Sorry. But anyways, it was a phenomenal race. I'm actually blowing through so much of this shit. I should probably try and slow down here. But I have to get to the next thing. So then we left there, and then we went. My wife better not listen to this podcast. She's going to get annoyed with me. Then we went back to the hotel, dropped off our shit, and we went back down over to the venue, and we got to see Primus, and they basically opened for themselves, played like for an hour, and then took a half hour break and played for another 90 minutes. And I gotta be honest with you, I am not a drug guy, but I actually, with all the video shit that they had going on and the whole psychedelic vibe. Oh, by the way, another heckler at that show. Like Larry's, one of his pedals or something wasn't working. You know, so Les is talking to the crowd. He's actually talking about that, what is that, blue, you know, those damn blue collar tweakers. This old town. Hey, that fucking song. He was talking about how he came up with that. Tweakers, I thought he was talking about meth. You know? I didn't know it was about the waters being stolen from Northern California. So he's sitting there talking about it because they're trying to fix Larry's pedals. And this guy in the crowd goes, "Stop fucking preaching." Can you? I was beside myself. I would think everybody in the crowd would just beat the shit out of me. But Les, once again, did both of them just handled it like a pro? He joked his way out of it. He said something fucking hilarious about... you know, presenting any questions he had, please present them in written form. True or false questions work best for me. I'm butchering it, but it was like really funny to the point I was actually kind of happy the guy heckled him because, you know, Les is fucking hilarious. So I finally got to see Tim Alexander play live. His fucking kit is, he has like a double bass pedal on like a 20-inch bass drum. And they had all of this stuff going on in the background, and I'm sitting there, you know, trying to figure out, you know, what Tim is playing and all of that shit. And, after they opened for themselves, they took a half hour break, then they came out and they started playing all the stuff off to their new album. I hope I say this right. Desaturating 7. And they had all this video stuff going on, and I actually looked over at Dean at one point. I believe when they had elephants jumping on trampolines. and the way that the filter was on it, it looked like, what was that really cool movie Vin Diesel did where he couldn't see? Just how you would look. I keep thinking Riddick Bowe. I know it's not that. That was a boxer. I forget what the I can never remember the name of the movie. But it was like sort of in that sort of filter. And it was an elephant jumping up and down on a trampoline. And then it became three. And then one of them started doing somersaults. And what I loved when it came down, like the trunk would like would be like fluttering in the wind as it came down. And I literally looked over at Dean. I go, you know what? I've never had this thought before, but I really wish I was on drugs right now. I'm not a drug guy, you know? Or I've stayed away from, you know, I smoke weed every once in a while. Usually when I'm not drinking, because I'm so fucking bored. I don't know how straight edge people do it. I really don't. But I pretty much stayed away from all of like the evil drugs, other than alcohol. I think alcohol is an evil drug. It's an angry drug. Like, you know what I mean? Like, weed is cool. Mushrooms are cool. But like, coke is evil. Alcohol's evil. I don't know. I feel like the shit that just makes you kind of sit around, you can't really do anything, just giggling at yourself. You know? I don't know why anybody would like just choose to stay in the dark side. I don't know. Maybe you're just a fucking dark human being and you relate to it. But you'd think you'd want to go the opposite way. I don't fucking know. But I've never taken mushrooms or anything like that. But I don't know. That was the first time I was just like, you know, I wouldn't have minded being in like an altered state throughout this. If I could have just given I just always worry that I would freak out. That's why I never, you know, like my generation always, they were always like, you know, had the old thing telling you stories about people who took LSD and they pulled their eyeballs out and fucking jumped. I mean, I would never fuck with LSD either. But like, I don't know. I was actually going like, you know, I think this would have been one of those times. I mean, if I just did mushrooms once every 49 years, I mean, it's like, be like Halley's Comet, you know? Sort of, right? I don't fucking know. All I know was they were unbelievable. And I don't even know which was my favorite. I think, was it Southbound Pachyderm? It's probably my favorite. It was just an unbelievable, well, the whole night was just fucking incredible. And that was my weekend. I got to do three shows at Austin City Live, the best venue as far as sound I've ever performed in. I then got to see Jimmy Vaughn in this small little bar, like doing the world a favor. He doesn't need to do that gig. Comes down, right? And then I got to go to an F1 race, and then I saw Primus after that. Now I come back to Atlanta to do a fucking movie to pretend to be somebody else. I swear to God, there's a piano waiting to fall on my fucking head at some point during this week. Something's going to happen. And actually, I already did. I'm not going to talk to you about it. It was some other fucking bullshit. Getting some work done on the house, and the workers came there, and somebody said, hey, the door to your house was open. And I was like, oh, fuck, did somebody break into our house? So I'm dealing with that. But you know what? That's what happens. That is what happens. When you have all this good stuff going on, something happens. You stub your fucking toe, you get audited, something's going to happen. I don't fucking know. So anyways, doing all of this shit, I missed pretty much all of the football and all of that crap for this weekend. I do know that the Patriots beat the Falcons, so that's cool. We're 4-2. Dude, we actually have a strong division. Bills are 4-2. Patriots are 4-2. Dolphins are 4-2. Jets are, what are they? They 3-, what would that be if they played 6 games? 3-3? I don't know what they are. Well, they might be 3-5 because I think we might have had a bye week. I don't know what. But the AFC East, after all these years of being so fucking weak, is actually a really competitive division this year. So that's pretty exciting. And I watched, what did I watch? My apologies. By the way, my apologies to the fucking Houston Astros. I love your uniforms. I just haven't watched baseball in so long. I thought they still had those shitty ones that Jeff Bagwell had to wear. You fucking uniforms are great. And I got to give a shout out to Sports Illustrated. Some guy, I was watching this pregame because I watched game 6 and 7, you know, when I was waiting to go on. And I thought, I was convinced CC Sabathia game 7. I thought the Yankees were going to have that one. But anyways, they were talking about before, like, game 7, that some, I don't know who wrote it, in Sports Illustrated, in 2014, the year the Astros went 70 and 92, he put them on the cover of Sports Illustrated and said, you know, please welcome your 2017 World Series champions. He said that in 2014 when they were 70 and 92, or in the midst of being that. He or she said that, right? And then they come back from the story, and the guy hosting the sports program goes, yeah, that was a pretty good prediction. It's like, pretty good. That was fucking unbelievable. Like, anybody right now can look at the Yankees and go like, hey, I think they're going to win it next year, or they'll win it the year after, or sometime within the next 3 years. That is not a big prediction. All right? They got all this young talent. They're fucking playing great. They way overachieved as far as what the organization thought they were going to do this year. They came one game away from the World Series. Anybody can say that these guys are going to win another one. You know, that's what I think. I think they're going to win another one here in the next few years. But to fucking look at the Astros, who've never fucking won in 2014, and then pick the year, I think in the next 3 years, blah, 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 that would have been great. But to actually nail the year, I mean, they haven't won it yet, but the guy comes, yeah, it was a pretty good prediction. I don't know. I thought the guy was a little jealous. Am I nuts? I'm trying not to talk all sports because I know people are fucking get nuts with that sometimes. So let me fucking go. First of all, I'm really cursing a lot. I don't know why. Probably because I was on a plane today, and I always suck after I've been on a plane. But let's get back to drugs and booze. All right? This is what I realized. I like getting fucked up. I do. I really enjoy it. I like getting hammered or fucking, you know, every once in a while smoking some weed. I do. And I'm not an addictive personality, as the cops show up to see what's under my bed right now. I hope you guys could hear the siren in the background. I hope you didn't think I was alluding to the fact that I killed a hooker or something. I was talking about drugs. A siren went by. Sometimes this fucking thing doesn't pick it up. So like now I haven't drank or done anything for like 67 days, and I could go for the rest of my life. I could do it. But it's boring. I don't know how, like, I have to commend everybody who gets into a program and just fucking does that. I don't know how you do it, but it's amazing. And I feel like, in a way, by me saying how fucking boring it is, I'm actually fucking with your sobriety, so I apologize. But have you guys been watching Bert Kreischer, by the way? Going sober for October, and I believe Tom Segura, they always do like those battles, like losing weight and being sober and all that shit. And I think Joe Rogan is doing it too. So all I know about the three of them, November better get in the fetal position, because I have a feeling they're going to come back strong. I know I am. I think I am. I don't know. I like losing the weight and that type of shit, but I think I'm gonna be. I would like to be more of someone who picks his battles when I drink. You know, like, I got to tell you, Austin is a hard place not to be drinking. Like, we went to go see Jimmy Vaughn. Like, we were sitting at this table with some other people that knew Jimmy, and they were the nicest people ever. And a couple of them that were at the table were fucking just doing shots. And I swear to God, they did like 3 shots in an hour. And these people could drink because they were just totally like fine. And I would be lying to you if I wasn't looking at them drinking going, God damn it, I would kill for one of those right now. And I was trying to rationalize it. Like, what if I just did one? And this is the weird thing about me. If I'm a habit guy. So I'm not like a chemical person, I don't think. So, but if I just do that one, how I work is I immediately have to order a water after that and let the buzz start to fade, all right? Because if I don't, then I'm going to get another, then I'm going to get another. But I get this weird thing with the water. It's almost like I threw it in my face and I wake up going like, all right, dude, settle down. But if I don't do that, I definitely put a dent in a bottle. But I don't know, last night, man, at that Primus show, I'm not blaming Primus here when I fucking go off the wagon, but I was just like, you know what? Am I going to try mushrooms? The fuck is, who tries mushrooms for the first time at 49, just had a kid? I can't have that on my resume, right? Plus, I also think the first time you do them, you should probably be in your house where you feel safe, but I can't do that now because I'm a dad. And I don't think it would be smart to do it at a concert while I watched a fucking elephant doing somersaults on a trampoline. I don't know. I'm just throwing this shit out here. If anybody has any suggestions how to walk that line. Anyways, now that I've talked about recreational drugs here, are those recreational? I don't even know what. I just always hear that word on the fucking news. Let me promote the All Things Comedy Festival. This is the podcast read, okay? We're having our first All Things Comedy Festival at the end of this month, October 26th, 27th, 28th, and 29th. Oh, I'm sorry. So that goes right through Sunday in Phoenix, Arizona. All right, 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th. So that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm going to be there recording my first ever live Monday morning podcast. All right? Doug Stanhope, the great Doug Stanhope, the legend, is doing his podcast at the Orpheum Theater. Bert Kreischer. Sober Bert, Ari Shaffir, I think he also might be sober. The Crab Feast are also on the lineup. We're taking over downtown Phoenix with a pop-up podcast studio, and the whole network is going to be there. If you're in the Phoenix area, come hang with us. Go to the All Things, go to allthingscomedy.com to get your tickets. Yeah, I don't know what time I'm coming in because I'm coming in from Atlanta. Actually, I'm going out to L.A. to see my wife and kid, and then I'm going to fly in the day of, and I'm going to be walking around fucking taking pictures and thanking everybody for coming out. So if you guys bought tickets that came out, I really, really appreciate it. All right, let's get to some of the more of the podcast reads here. Oh, look who's here, everybody. It's one of our favorite fucking reads on the podcast. It's old Zip. Are you hiring?
Well, are you?
Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? ZipRecruiter is different. With Zip... .com, you can post your job to over 100 job sites. What? Over 100 of the web's leading job boards. Sorry, with one click. So you can just rest easy, knowing your job is going to be seen by the right candidates. Then Zip... puts its smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting, so you can receive the best possible matches. Gotta get glasses. You can even get a head start on the interview process by adding screening questions to your job post. What? To your job post to help identify the most qualified candidates. You ever read a sentence and you don't even know what the fuck you're talking about? That was one of them. So you don't have to waste time sorting through the stack of resumes to find the perfect fit. And the easy-to-use Zip dashboard lets you manage your hiring process from start to finish all in one place. Find out today why Zip has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. So right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Burr. One more time. Hey! ZipRecruiter.com/Burr. All right. Simply safe. Getting traditional home security can be a punishing and expensive task. SimpliSafe Home Security is a better way to protect your home. SimpliSafe. got rid of everything that makes home security a hassle, man. They make it easy for you. The system is easy to use and completely wireless. You can install it yourself. Oh, that's great. You can do it yourself in under an hour. Simply Safe has no long-term contract. There's no obligations. Hey, honey, we had a great night. Leave it alone. I don't want a relationship. This is an award-winning home security technology tech magazine. CNET calls Simply Safe better, smarter home security. Your home is protected around the clock with 24/7 professional monitoring. If there's trouble, they'll send police. By the way, when I said my door was on, my wife and kid weren't home, okay? By the way, just to let you know, in case you were concerned. This service costs just $15 a month with Simply Safe. That's three times less than what the other guys charge. And Simply Safe has no hidden fees. Protect your home today. You can buy Simply Safe at your local Best Buy and have your home protected by tonight. Or SimplySafeBurr.com for a special 10% off. That's SimplySafeBurr.com for 10% off your home security system. SimplySafeBurr.com. B-U-R-R. Two more, everybody. Hang in there. Movement Watches, everybody. Movement Watches, pronounced Movement, M-V-M-T. That's how they spell it, was founded on the belief that style shouldn't break the bank. The watchmaker's goal is to change the way consumers think about fashion by offering high-quality, minimalist products at revolutionary prices. The company started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. I never understood this. They're broke and they started a watch company. How do you do that? So they started their own watch company. All right. How is this like your how you started? Well, I wasn't broke. I was living at home with my parents, and I worked in a dental office. And I paid off my fucking truck, and when it died, I put a new engine in it rather than buying a new car. And then I paid off the fucking engine. And then I finally started making money off of my stand-up gigs, and I started banking that. I paid off my student loans, and then I had an electrical fire, and my truck burned down on the side of Route 24. And then I said, well, fuck it, I'm moving to New York anyways, and I don't need a car. So I moved down there, and I thought, well, I got to get a day job. And then I got a couple of gigs, and then my mindset went from, you know, I got to get a day job to I got to get more gigs. I took buses and trains and shit like that. It sucked, and then, I don't know, eventually I started making money 20 years later. Did you guys really want me to take that big of a left turn during your read? Because if you tell me to talk about it, I will. It's a classic design, quality construction, style, minimalism. Over 100 million watches sold in 160 countries. Then I was in Lee, Massachusetts, and somebody threw a fucking dinner roll at me, and it missed, and they threw it so hard when it hit the back wall that actually scared me. And this is the thing, it was a fresh roll, too. He threw it so hard, it sounded like a stale roll. Movement watches start at just $95. One time somebody threw dental floss at me when I was on stage because I was talking about working in a dental office. At a department store, you're looking at $400 to $500. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to Movement. I used to work for free. And then I moved up to working for gas money. By going to movement.com/burr, this watch has a really clean design that makes a great fashion statement. Now is the time to step up your watch game. Go to movementwatches.com/burr. Join the movement. By the way, Tim Alexander's fucking drum kit was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. He has like three rack toms, and then mixed in with the rack toms, on like a rack above it, he has like these octobons, like three different octobons. Then he has like these like splash cymbals on one side. He's got like the rack. Dude, I'm a drum geek. So I was videoing the drum kit, watching all of this stuff. Dude, one of the most fluid fucking players. Do you know he was the player that actually got me out of my John Bonham, initially got me out of the John Bonham like death spiral. And I was like, all I'm doing is listening to John Bonham. This isn't good. I'm never going to sound like him. I'm never going to play like him. I need to listen to other people. And the double bass guys, so many of them, like what they were playing, I just couldn't hear a groove. And then he came along, and the way he applies the double bass, when he puts it in, and what I love about his playing is how fluid it is in the space that he has. and just grooves his ass off. I can't believe I finally got to saw him. Got to see him. It was just amazing. Anyways, stamps.com, everybody. Oh, the old favorites. Stamps saves you time and money, which you can use to grow your business. And can mail. I can mail any letters, any packages using just my computer and printer, and the mailman picks it up. Avoid the hassle, man, of going to the post office and mail everything from postcards to envelopes to packages, domestic or international. Create your stamps account in minutes with no equipment to lease and no long-term commitments. Click, print, mail, shoot, chit, and you're done. Unlike the post office, stamps.com never closes. Print postage for letters or packages at your convenience 24/7. Keyword descriptors, convenient, easy, reliable, flexible. Like the whore up the street. I use stamps.com anytime I send out my posters. I'm going to whore myself out signing them afterwards. Like the poster that will be available this weekend for the first ever live Monday morning podcast. Go to stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr. That's stamps.com. Enter Burr. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. All right. Where are we here? Let's get to some of the questions here for this week. All right, you're not going to believe this. I accidentally hit stop, so then I had to press record again, and somehow I hit stop again without realizing it, and I just talked for 40 fucking minutes that nobody heard. All right, let me start this over again with your questions here. All right, I'll try to act like I'm still excited, that I'm not fucking starving. Do you hear that? That's my stomach growling. All right, Robert Plant, everybody. Oh, freckles. Just wanted to let you know Robert Plant was interviewed on the Howard Stern Show on Tuesday. He goes through his whole career and up to the present because he has a new album coming out. Incredible interview. Thought you might enjoy it. Thank you and go fuck yourself. I have to hear this fucking interview. The problem is I only have Sirius satellite radio in my car. My car is in Los Angeles. I'm in Atlanta. Howard Stern fans, please send me a link. Let me know where I can see it, watch it, whatever the fuck goes on. However you kids do it, because I'm not going to be able to figure it out. I have to listen to it. I have to listen to him go through the whole thing. Band of Joy, into Zeppelin, John Bonham dying, coming back within the mood. And then what else did he do? Honey Drippers, the whole fucking thing. I can't wait to listen to that. You know, when I was at the Austin City Live, they had an incredible picture of him too. You know, he's another guy, you know, just aged naturally. Now look at him. He looks fucking badass. All the wrinkles on his face. He looks fucking amazing. I don't know why people would choose Botox and all of that shit. Here's a great one. 38-year-old bus driver makes college hoops team. Billy Girl, did you see this article on Barstool? Sounds like someone you would commend on a job well done. You're always telling people it's never too late. On the flip side, what are the negatives here? Does anyone lose out? Hey, man, if you can't beat out a 6'8", 380-pound fucking 38-year-old guy, it's on Barstool Sports, which, by the way, is, you know, that's got to be the best combination of being hilarious and then also letting you know what's going on in sports. How old? Let's see this guy. 38 years old. He's going to be 39 in November. He's 6'8" and weighed 380 pounds. He's 38, weighs 380. You know what's funny? To get 380 pounds, all you have to do is just gain, at 38 years of age, all you have to do is just gain 10 pounds a year. You know? For the first, like, I don't know how many years, people are like, oh my God, the kid's emaciated. Then all of a sudden, right? You're 9 years old, you're 90 pounds. Like, what the fuck? 10, you're 100, 20, you're 200, and next, you know, 380. He just kept getting big, like giantism, but you just keep eating. You're asking me what is the downsize? Downsize. A little slip there. What is the downside? Maybe is blowing out his Achilles. I mean, I don't feel bad if somebody can't beat out a fucking soon-to-be 39-year-old, 380-pound, 6'8" guy. You know, at that division, whatever division that is. That's amazing. Good for him, man. Good for him. You know what it is? He said his basketball dream died, and he's 38 years old, going to be 39. He has two teenage kids. It's like, there's where your dream died. You fucking had the kids, man. And you're a good dad, I bet. So you're just like, oh, I got to take whatever job I can get. All right, the fall guy. No, sorry, brain activity after death. Oh my God, I can't believe I already did this. And I talked. I hope I can do this justice again. Brain activity after death. All right, let's reminisce about this one because I've already read it before. All right? When I first recorded this but didn't realize I wasn't recording, let me check again to make sure this fucking thing is on. That freaked me out. Brain activity after death. And I was just like, because in my will, I'm going to get cremated. So I'm like, you know, even still, if you have brain activity after death, I'd rather just get thrown in an oven to just finish off the rest of me, like, ah, it's over real quick, as opposed to laying in a coffin, feeling worms going into my ears. Dear Billy Ripper, this article absolutely fucked me up. Not only is death going to suck, but also I feel the need to know, I feel the need now to make sure people don't talk shit about me as I'm dying or hear, let's get a pizza as I'm about ready to check out for good. All right, this freaked me out here. All right, scientists say your brain still works after death and you know when you're dead. Now, I saw a thing a long time ago where this scientist was on TV with this religious guy who was talking about people who died and then came back to life, and then they talked about what they saw and what they heard and all that. And it was all this fascinating stuff about watching people working on them and floating above the table and all of this type of shit. And then the scientist guy just killed all of it by going like, nothing has ever been dead and has been brought back to life. What you're talking about here is people having a near-death experience. Just because your heart stops, it doesn't mean you're dead. Your brain is still working. You can still, and he basically was saying, if your eyes are open, you know, you can still see some shit. We're not sure how much. You're still alive. It's not until your brain has no functioning. That's the final part of it. I remember reading, when I read that book, A Perfect Storm, they went through all of drowning. And now your brain's sitting there firing and all that last bit of life. All this brain activity is going, trying to get your heart going, and it just doesn't happen, and then that's it. From the lack of oxygen, then your brain dies last, and then that's it. But you don't, like, fucking live. I mean, you're not dead. You're not dead yet. Right? Anyway, scientists may be inching closer to answering one of the greatest mysteries of life. What happens after you die? What happens after you die? Don't you hate those fucking websites where you skip past the advertising and you scroll down and then they show it to you anyways? Fucking annoying. According to researchers in New York, a person's brain is still active after death, meaning in many cases they can be aware that they've passed away. A team from New York University Langone School of Medicine has been studying patients who've suffered cardiac arrest or a heart attack, which stops their heart for a period of time. Quote, technically speaking, that's how you get the time of death. It's all based on the moment when the heart stops. Yeah, but you're not dead. You're not dead. Your heart just stopped. That's why they can bring you back to life, because you're still alive. They just get the fucking thing going again. I learned all of this from one scientist. They'll describe watching doctors and nurses working. They'll describe having awareness of full conversations, of visual things. Yeah, but your ears didn't die. If you scream in an ear, it's still going to fucking vibrate, because it's still alive. It's still working. The heart stopped. Anyways. They knew all this shit that they otherwise wouldn't have known what was going on. According to Parnia, these recollections were then verified by the medical staff. Yeah, this is all stupid. Yeah, because you're not dead yet, sir. You're not dead. All right, so just fucking let go of that. I think, you know what I think happens when you die? I think it's a beautiful experience. I think it's what my idea of what fucking mushrooms at a Primus concert is like. I think you'd lay in there. I think you totally relax. You let go of all of the bullshit. And if you're lucky enough, after your heart stopped, to kind of be aware of a little, to be aware that you're dying, I think it would be very humble experience. And I would give thanks for the amazing life that I had. And if there was nothing after it, I would be good with it. I would be fine with going into the ground and enriching the soil with my carcass. I don't need to go anywhere after this. I performed at Austin City Live. I then saw Jimmy Vaughn. I then went to an F1 race and then saw Primus. I need to go to heaven after that? The fuck are you talking about? Yeah. I don't think it's this big fearful thing. I don't think it is. I think if somebody tortures you to death, the torture's bad. That's the bad thing. How you die is bad. But I don't think the death, that being dead, is bad. I think it'll be fucking amazing. I think it's going to be amazing. Why would you think anything else? You can't stop it. Might as well look at it in a positive way. Remember when, who was that guy? Jesus Christ, he's only a legend. He was in that band that sang about fucking heroin. Lou Reed. I remember they said when he died, this woman said she was looking at him and he had the most, like, amazed and, like, inquisitive look on his face. Like, he was totally enjoying it and just taking in the fucking experience. That's how you want to go out. You know, I'm going, oh, my God, I'm sorry. Oh, God. Doing all that shit. Fuck that. Don't fight it. Just give into it. What are you, special? You going to keep fucking living like a vampire? The Fall Guy. Dear Bill Big Red Balls of Fire. I don't have a question, more of an observation on the Harvey Weinstein situation. Harvey Weinstein is banned from the Oscars Little Elite Club. It's not a little club. It's a fucking, it is a very elite club. And I could tell by, I already said this shit before. I knew this guy has issues with Hollywood. I believe, you know, by saying Little Elite Club. The same club that Roman Polanski, a pedophile who pled guilty, he did not plead guilty to being a pedophile. What he pled guilty to was improper behavior. That's what he was willing to plead guilty to. And then he ran and got the fuck out of the country. Because that's what innocent people do. Although, if I was brought up on those charges in another country, I probably would have got the fuck out of there, too. However, I would never be in a hot tub with a fucking 13-year-old girl giving her booze or whatever the fuck was going on. And Bryan Singer, who's been accused of molesting underage child stars and feeding them drugs, are a part of. The big Hollywood elite club that these sick bastards want us to believe is honorable. I don't know if anybody ever said it was honorable. You said on your previous podcast that this was one of the most... I guess they try. This is for film and honoring film. Maybe they do. I don't pay attention to this shit. I watch sports. You said on your previous podcast that this was one of the most disgusting, god-awful situations you ever heard of. The Weinstein thing. Yeah. Weinstein fucked up, sure. But so far, none of his accusers were underage. I swear to God, I know what you guys are thinking. You're thinking what I thought the first time I read this. This guy is not going to downplay what Weinstein did. Hey, you know, he fucked up. Allegedly did. I guess I should still be saying alleged. What he allegedly did. And the guy fucked up. A lot of them were aspiring stars who were willing to do anything for fame. Objection. Speculation. Dude, you're just creating this fucking argument. Because you have issues with Hollywood. And their careers failed, and now they're bitter. So they, yeah, okay. All right, this, you sound like the defense attorney for Harvey Weinstein right now. But no one, all in capitals, mentions the pedophilia cases involving other tinseled moguls. Because it would completely ruin the industry. That's not true. It's been mentioned. People have said stuff like that. They don't have evidence to bring charges. Okay, this is what happens. It's the same reason why Harvey Weinstein probably won't go to jail. Like, the level of fucking evidence that you need in order to bring charges, okay? It's a difficult fucking thing when you're dealing with people with that level of power trying to catch them in the act. You know, how long do they know that these mafia dons are doing what they're doing? How often do they know that these fucking oil companies and insurance companies and all of these people, Catholic Church and all these people are doing, they have money. They got money, dude. Okay? So I don't know why you're just singling out Hollywood. What are you, Fox News? You know, or CNN when they just single out fucking Trump for grabbing pussies? I don't understand. If you're going to fucking lay waste, you got to go straight across the board here. Anyways, it's made this... Okay. Watch this documentary if you can find it, called An Open Secret. All right, well, Meaning what? That I'm out in Hollywood. I don't know that this shit's going on. I guess it's an open secret with the people that know those people. This is a classic fucking guy who watches a goddamn documentary. He's not a fucking lawyer. He doesn't even know how to present his fucking argument. It's all speculation that are willing to do anything for fame. Like, where did you get that? You just pulled that out of your ass to support your fucking argument here. I'm not saying this shit isn't going on, but like, you know, there's all kinds of people that fly over to these third world countries evidently and are doing God knows what with underage kids. So I don't know why you're just singling this out. I mean, if you're going to attack this, shouldn't you be against it straight across the fucking board? Or maybe you're just saying this because the Weinstein thing came about. I don't know what you're doing. It's the fact that you're downplaying what Harvey Weinstein allegedly did. That's what's weirding me out here. Anyways, that documentary, An Open Secret, it's made by the same director who made Deliver Us From Evil, which is about the pedophilia in the Catholic Church. Well, this director is either fighting the good fight or picking low-hanging fruit here. That movie was released in theaters and got, for the most part, major distribution from film companies. But An Open Secret hasn't had a wide release in its 2 years that it's premiered. Yeah, why do you think? Why do you think? Why don't you make a fucking documentary about how fucked up the oil industry is and try to get the oil industry to put it out? They're not going to shoot themselves in the foot because at the end of the day, money wins. All right? Same way why the NFL acted like they didn't see that Ray Rice fucking thing. It's still unknown by a majority of the populace. Weinstein is taking the shitstorm while the real monsters are saying, phew, good thing we're not in the forefront. It's bullshit. Okay, I can't understand if you're saying Weinstein shouldn't be. He should be taking a shitstorm, but not the whole shitstorm. I think that's what you're trying to say here. Corey Feldman and Elijah Wood mentioned pedophilia is running rampant in Hollywood, but no one gives that issue the time of day. I would actually argue that they're trying to investigate it, but people have such high levels of power. Because what I've learned from the Harvey Weinstein thing when I listened to that disgusting tape of him saying, I'm used to this, knowing that that tape wasn't enough to arrest him is, I mean, you borderline have to catch somebody in the act when they have that level of money, because then it becomes your word against their word, and then they have money to tie it up forever in court. It's terrible. Anyways, Harvey is equivalent to a nerd who's desperate to get laid. All right, dude, I'm done with this fucking thing. I'm done with this thing. You know what's funny, sir? In all of this, you're going after these. So you feel that pedophiles should be punished. I agree. But you feel that creeps like Harvey Weinstein are the equivalent to a nerd who's desperate to get laid. That's how you view alleged rape? I mean, I don't know. I don't know where you're going with that, sir, but, you know, you wrote a lot of words. All right, MILF question. Hey, Bill, you fucking cunt. All right. Guilty as charged. You know what? The guy who wrote that, Harvey Weinstein, I think we were sitting down. Sometimes people writing isn't the best way for them to communicate. Maybe if we sat down and we actually talked, I could understand what the fuck he was saying. All right. MILF question. Hey, Bill, you fucking cunt. I love your podcast and all your stand-ups. F is for Family is fucking great, too. Thank you. Anyways, I need some advice. I'm 24 and I work at a bar as a sound guy until I graduate, which is this December. Anyways, last week, a beautiful redheaded woman who's about 40 starts to hit on me. I give her my number, and lately I've been texting her. Banging a MILF has always been on my bucket list. That's just fucking gross to me. I don't know why. I just think that's fucking gross. Why you have to bring up the fact that she's a mother and has a kid and you want to fuck her is just weird. Why can't you just say she's hot? However, this woman is starting to seem like she wants more than just a night or two of fucking. She has a kid, which I don't fucking want to deal with whatsoever. So here's my question. How do I deal with this? You fucking walk. Walk away. And I understand that you're not understanding these red flags because you're 24 years old and your dick is just running the situation. I'll read the rest of this. He goes, I mean, I want to hook up with her, but I don't really want a relationship with the 40-year-old broad with a kid. We haven't done anything yet. Great. Great time to ask for help. He said, but we're going on a date this Friday. As always, fuck your own face and go Bruins. Yeah, dude. I would walk away. I wouldn't even go out with her. I wouldn't even go out with her. I would just walk the fuck away. Because I'll tell you right now, you know she wants a relationship. All right? So right now, if you're just going to fuck her and then leave, that's kind of bad. Just going to be bad karma. Not that I really believe in... Well, I kind of do, but I don't. I don't know. I actually believe you have to believe in karma for it to come back and get you. Because in reality, bad shit's going to happen anyways. And you'd be like, oh, that's my karma. I would, I'd either break that date off or I would tell her beforehand, which is going to piss her off and then she's not going to bang you anyways. The time to have had that conversation in the future, sir, when you meet an older woman and they know what the fuck they want, when they're hitting on you, whatever, you just let them know you're single and you're just trying to have fun. You're not trying to get into a relationship. And you just throw that out there. And if they still jump on the fucking hook, pull them into the boat. If not, you catch and release. Catch and release. All right. Is that it? Is that the podcast for this week? God damn it. Did I do enough friggin' time? All right. I have a lot of people to thank this week. I want to thank all you guys for listening. I want to thank everybody who's going to be coming out to the podcast festival in Phoenix. I want to thank Primus for putting on a fucking amazing show. We got to go backstage, me and Dean, and meet him for a second. They were the nicest, coolest fucking people ever. Everybody around him, everybody was awesome. Jimmy Vaughn, another great guy, another amazing show. Thank you for the amazing show. Thank you to him and his wife for being so cool and being such great, just great people. Everybody at F1. I just had a fucking great time. Got to give a shout out, thank you to Will Buxton for throwing in the Ricky Rocket for the Daniel Ricciardo intro. And that's it. I'll check in on you guys on Thursday. What about the fucking Rams? The Los Angeles Rams. What would happen if they actually sold out that giant fucking stadium for a regular season game? Come on, Los Angeles. They're from there. They left once. You got your old girlfriend back. Treat her right. Treat her right. All right, that's it. Go fuck yourselves. I'll check in on you on Thursday.